Hey, welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster, which is a publication that can be sent to your house if you just ask for it. It's at www. Let me see if I can find that real quick. www. There it is. Chapel Library. Two L's in the middle. www.chapellibrary.org. That's their site. You can email at chapel@mountzion.org, and they will send you this thing every quarter. And there'll be a whole series of messages on a particular topic. The topic this time around is meditation. I've read several already. Let's do George Swinnock's ideas about solemn and set or deliberate meditation. George Swinnock lived from 1627 to 1673. Solemn meditation is a serious applying of the mind to some sacred subject until the affections be warmed and quickened and the resolution heightened and strengthened thereby against what is evil and for that which is good. Now, there are five things in this description. Number one, it is an application of the mind. The understanding must be awake about this duty. It's not a work to be done sleeping. If the mind be not stirring, the affections will be nodding. The understanding in this is, as it were, the master workman. If that be out of the way or missing, the servants of the affections will be idle and stand still. It is by this sun, S-U-N, that heat is conveyed to the lower world. Darkness, like the night, is accompanied with damps and cold. The chariot of light is attended with warming and quickening beams. Number two, it is a serious applying of the mind. Too quick digestion breeds crudities, that is, undigested matter. And that's a comparison to things not digested in the mind, as well as in the body, and doth often more distemper or disorder or sicken than nourish. There must be a retentive faculty to hold fast that which nature receiveth until a thorough concoction or... Now, what does that one mean, a concoction? We know what a concoction is, but there's a different thing here. It's the ability to retain in the body until fully digested. This is a figure of meditation. A thorough concoction be wrought, or little strength will be gotten by it. Hereby it differeth from occasional meditation, which is sudden and soon vanishes. This calls at the door, salutes us, and takes its leave. Solemn meditation comes in and stays some time with us. Occasional meditation is transient, like the dogs of Nihilus that lap and are gone. Set meditation is permanent. It is as the spouse begged of Christ lodgeth all night between the breasts. This duty cannot be done unless the mind be kept close to it. The person that is negligent cannot do this work of the Lord. Things of importance are not to be huddled up in haste. Loose thoughts, as loose garments, hinder us in our business. We need our hearts united to think of God as much as to fear God. Short glances do little good. It is not once dipping the stuff into the dye vat, but frequently doing it, that giveth the pure scarlet color. It is much blowing that makes the green wood to flame. Number three, it is about some sacred subject. A good meat, as good meat and drink breed good blood, so good subjects will breed good thoughts. There is abundant matter for our meditation, the nature or attributes of God, the states and offices of Christ, the threefold state of man, the four last things, the vanity of the creature, the sinfulness of sin, the love and fullness of the blessed Savior, the divine word and works. Out of these we may choose sometimes one thing, sometimes another, to be the particular subject of our thoughts. To undertake more than one at a time will deprive us of the benefit of all. Whilst the dog runs after two hares, H-A-R-E-S, now after one and presently after the other, he loseth both. When thou hast fixed upon the subject, meditate, if it may be, on its causes, properties, effects, titles, comparisons, testimonies, contraries. All will help to illustrate the subject and to quicken and advantage thee. They do all as so many several windows let in those beams that both enlighten the mind and warm the affections, but they must be considered in their places and methodically. The parts of a watch jumbled together serve for no use, but each in its order make a rare and useful piece. 4. It is that the affections may be warmed and quickened. Our hearts and affections should answer our thoughts, as the echo the voice, and the wax the character in the seal. If our meditations do not better our hearts, they do nothing. Whilst they swim in the mind as light things floating on the waters, they are unprofitable. But when they sink down into the affections as heavy and weighty things, making suitable and real impressions there, then they attain their end. Our design in meditation must be rather to cleanse our hearts than to clear our heads. While I was musing, the fire burned, Psalm 39:3. We strike fire by meditation to kindle our affections. This application of the thoughts to the heart is like the natural heat, which digesteth the food and turneth it into good nourishment. When you are meditating on the sinfulness of sin in its nature, its opposition to God, His being, His law, His honor, its opposition to our own souls, their present purity and peace, their future glory and bliss, or in its causes, Satan, the wicked one, its father, the corrupt heart of man, its mother, or in its properties, how defiling it is, filthiness itself, how infectious it is, overspreading the whole man, polluting all his natural, civil, spiritual actions, and making his praying, hearing, singing an abomination. How deceiving it is, pretending food and intending murder in its effects. The curse of God on all the creatures, evident by the vanity in them, the vexation they bring with them, in the anger of God on sinners, apparent in those temporal punishments, spiritual judgments, and eternal torments that he inflicteth on them. I say, when we meditate on these, we should endeavor to get our hearts broken for sin, ashamed of sin, fired with indignation against sin. Oh, what a wretch am I, should the soul think, to harbor such a traitor against my sovereign. What a fool I am, to hug such a serpent in my bosom. What sorrow for it can be sufficient? What hatred of it is enough? What watchfulness against it? What self-abhorrence, because I have loved it and lived in it, can equal what it deserves? Oh, that I could weep bitterly for the commission of it, watch narrowly for the prevention of it, pray fervently for pardon of it and power against it. How much am I bound to God for his patience towards so great a sinner? How infinitely am I engaged to Christ for taking upon him my sins? It was infinite condescension in him to take upon him my nature. But oh, what humiliation was it to take upon him my sins? What life can answer such love? What thankfulness should I render for such grace, such goodness? The close applying of our meditations to our hearts is like the applying and rubbing in oil of a benumbed joint, which recovers it to its due sense. David proceeds from meditation of God's works to application of his thoughts. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? And then 5, it is a serious applying of some sacred subject, that his resolutions may be strengthened against evil and for good. This is solemn meditation we're talking about. The Christian must not only pray his good thoughts, but practice them. He must not lock them up in his mind, but lay them out in his life. A council of war or of state is wholly useless if there be none to execute what they determined. That kingdom flourisheth best where faithful execution followeth sound advisements. Therefore, the heathen pronounced a city safe that had the heads of old men for consideration and the hands of young men for execution. Action without consideration is usually lame and defective. Consideration without action is lost and abortive. Though meditation, like Rachel, be more fair, execution, like Leah, is more fruitful. The breasts under the law were unclean, which did not both chew the cud and divide the hoof. Chewing the cud signifieth meditation, dividing the hoof, a holy conversation or way of life, without which the former will be unprofitable. All of that said Augustine. Reader, listener, hast thou thought of the beauty and excellency of holiness in its nature, its conformity to the pure nature and holy commands of the blessed God, in its causes? The Spirit of God is its principal efficient, the Holy Scriptures its instrumental, in its names. It is the image of God, the divine nature, light, life, the travail of Christ's soul, grace, glory, the kingdom of heaven, in its effects or fruits. See how it renders thee amiable or more favorable in God's eye, has the promise of his ear, is entitled to pardon, peace, joy, adoption, growth in grace, perseverance to the end, and the exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And it has applied this so close to thy heart that thou hast been really affected with its worth, and wished thyself enriched with that jewel, though thou wert a beggar all thy life. Thus it is, resolved with thyself, well, I will watch, weep, hear, and pray, both fervently and frequently, for holiness. I will follow God up and down, and never leave him until he sanctifieth my soul. Now I say to thee, as Nathan to David, when he told him of his thoughts and resolutions of building a temple, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. Or as God to Moses concerning the Jews, they have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments. It is well thou art brought to any good purposes, but it will be ill if they be not followed with performances. Good intentions without suitable actions is but a false conception, or like a piece charged without a bullet, which may make a noise, but doth no good, no execution. Indeed, there is no way better to evidence the sincerity of thy intentions than by answerable actions. David was good at this. I thought on my ways, that was his serious consideration, and I turned my feet to thy testimonies. There was his holy action. So again, I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. It is in vain to pretend that, like Moses, we go into the mount of contemplation and converse with God, unless we come down as he did, with our faces shining, our conversations more splendent with holiness. This, saith the chief of the philosophers, will bring a man to perfect happiness, if to his contemplation he joins a constant imitation of God in wisdom, justice, and holiness. Thus I have dispatched those five in meditations. The first three are but one, though for method's sake, to help the reader and listener, I spake to them severally. They're usually called cogitation. The other two, application and resolution. Cogitation provides food. Application eats that food. Resolution digests it and gets strength from it. Cogitation cuts out the suit. Application makes it up. Resolution puts it on and wears it. Cogitation betters the judgment. Application, the affections. Resolution, the life. It is confessed that this duty of set meditation is as hard, as rare, and as uneasy as extraordinary. But experience teaches that the prophet makes abundant recompense for our pains in the performance of it. Besides, as millstones grind hard at first, but being used to it, they grind easily and make good flour. And so the Christian, wholly disused or unused to this duty, at first may find it somewhat difficult, but afterwards easy and fruitful. Amen. That's from The Christian Man's Calling. You'll find it in the works of George Swinnock, Volume 2, pages 424 to 429, and that work is in the public domain. George Swinnock was a Puritan preacher, educated at Cambridge and Oxford, born in Maidstone, Kent, England, UK. Well, tough one, huh? Another deeper challenge for you. Let's keep going deeper. Let's not be satisfied with where we've been and what we've done. God bless you today. I do hope that you'll look around the website for the rest of this weekend if you're with me in real time, which is October 6, 2018. Lord willing, to that group, I say we'll talk again Monday with David Brainerd, and then Tuesday with David Livingstone, and so on throughout the week. God bless you today. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk soon. Bye-bye.